we're just coordinating something technical. We'll see if this works. Are you all set, Abraham? All right, I'll take over. Do you want to just move the mouse onto the actual, just onto this, onto the actual projector? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great love you have for us. We think of the lines, Father, in that song, "The Darling of Heaven Crucified." What a tremendous picture. The Darling of Heaven Crucified for me, for all of us, for everyone in the world, for everyone who has ever lived, the Darling of Heaven was crucified. The innocent lamb led to the slaughter. Father, by your great love and compassion, you have saved us. You have shed the blood of your only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have victory in this life. Father, today as we come before your word, open it to us. We bring ourselves before you and we say, Lord, deposit your word deep into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, may the word bear much fruit in our hearts today. We declare it will not be stolen. It will not be choked. But Father, what you say, we receive, we absorb, we take into our hearts, and it's planted deeply, and it will bear much fruit to your glory, Father, for our benefit, for the benefit of those in the world you've called us to. Thank you, Father. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just let me just see. Is the mouse pointer moving, Abraham? Ah, here we go. Good. All right, let me just bring up this first one. Do you think we could just have the lights off just for a little while? We are going to talk about the Word of God, but I actually just want to start off showing you this. We've been talking about the Word. We've been talking about the rock. So here is a picture. Can anyone tell me what this is? It's a rock, right? What sort of rock? Any idea? Do you know? This is a man who's teachers. Very good. It is. It's from a volcanic region. It's actually pumice. Is that how you say it correctly? Okay. It's pumice. And you've got the photo here. This is this rock which has been sectioned. So it's been cut in half. And you can see it's got lots of cavities in it. There's lots of air pockets. So it's a volcanic rock, solidified frothy lava, which is typically created when superheated, highly pressurized rock is violently ejected from a volcano. And this comes in contact with water. So how many of us have handled pumice? Okay. Now what I've got, I actually have some pumice stones. And this isn't exactly the consistency. These are brand new from the chemist. They haven't been used for any purpose that you would use pumice stones for. But please, just have a look at it, have a feel, have a rub. Just so we can all, and just pass it around, so we can see the sort of things we're talking about. All right, let me show you another one. Pumice has an average porosity of 90%. So if you look at these pictures from this website where they talk about this, you can see this rock on the left, and then they put it in water, and can you see this rock actually floats, which is quite amazing. Understandable when we work out all the cavities and such it's got in it. Look at these pictures. You can see the weight of pumice. Because it has got so many holes and cavities, all these types of things in it, it's very light. So look at this guy on the right. Sorry if you guys, it's a little bit hard to see. This guy on the right, he's got this big boulder like this he's holding up with one hand. This lady over here with all these rocks. And down here, for our friend from America, we've got an honorary $20 note from the States. And you can see that's a $20 bill, which is simply put into a thing, and it's holding this rock, which is about 10 centimeters across. It's a very light rock. Okay. I want to talk about foundations. We've been talking a lot about the Word of God, and I know that not everyone has been here for the Sunday school teachings. The Word of God is so foundational to our lives. Jesus said it. And I just really wanted to share this today. So I'm going to read from Matthew. It's all up here. This is Matthew 7, verse 21 to 27, if you want to follow along in your Bible, or you can read it here. It says, Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." It's a very powerful statement right there in itself. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform how many miracles?'" Many miracles. If you think of an average person who doesn't know the Lord, is he casting out demons? If you think of an average person who doesn't know the Lord, are they performing many miracles? Who is doing these things? Who do you know in your experience? If someone came and said to you, "They are casting out demons in the name of Jesus, they are performing many miracles in the name of Jesus," who do you think is being spoken about? It's Christians. Okay. As we would know, Christians. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Very interesting thing. Jesus looks at the people who come and speak with their mouth, but act out a certain way in their life, and he draws a distinction. Very important passage here. Verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Did the house stand because it was one of these new tilt-up buildings and it had steel throughout it and it was welded together and it was the most incredible built house?" That's not what Jesus said. The house stood not because the wind blew and the roof was so securely tied down that the wind couldn't lift it off. Jesus said the house stood because of the foundation. It had been founded on the rock, verse 25. Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When Jesus emphasizes himself, you really, and I, we all really take notice. Great was its fall. Has anyone ever seen a picture of a house built on sand where the sand's gone eroded or something like that? If you look on the internet, you'll find some pictures. Normally, it's houses along the beach and it's kind of eroded and something's happened. It's gone through enough that it's actually, you know, the house, I've seen some pictures and the house is kind of bent forward because the supports at the front have gone down. You know, they have a veranda going out over the beach and it's sunken down a bit. There's not too many houses we can think of that are built specifically on sand that we see pictures of. Okay, this is then the parable of the two foundations, but now it's from Luke, not Matthew. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So again, we see Jesus really making this emphasis. You'll notice in this one, can you see a slight difference in this between this one and Matthew? Jesus said, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So the house still had a foundation, but the foundation of the house was actually put on the foundation of the rock. So that was the foundation of the house. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Okay, so at the end of these parables of Jesus, we can see something very clearly. We are the house. That's what Jesus, the point Jesus is making from the parable. What is the point? Point is, we are the house, and hearing the sayings of Jesus and doing them is the rock foundation. So it's not just hearing the saying of Jesus, it's hearing them and doing them, and we're safe. And there are songs we sing, and the songs are not incorrect, but they are songs that talk about we stand on Christ the solid rock. Talk about our God is a rock. Right, there are all these songs we sing, and they're not inaccurate at all. Psalm 18. In fact, let's have a quick look there. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Praise the Lord. You know, our God is not quicksand. You know, there are gods that exist in people's imaginations that have been formed into religions, and their gods are vicious. Their gods toy with mankind. They set them up for snares and horrible things. Our God is a rock. Our God is not quicksand, thank God. Further on in that chapter, down to verse 31, it says, "For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God?" And for those of you that were here, you would have heard Pastor John speaking, and passages around what we're looking at today, we're talking about, in fact, just before, one of them that we read speaks about Jesus being the chief corner, what? Stone. Okay, so God is a rock. The Bible tells us this. Jesus comes, and after Jesus, he is also talked about being the rock. Anyone builds upon this foundation, anything different other than Jesus. So there's all these things presented about God is a rock, Jesus is a rock, which is true. And Jesus says to us, with that rock in our lives, what do? We must build ourselves upon that rock. And how do we do that? By hearing and by doing what he says. Hearing what he says and acting upon it. These are not new concepts, are they? These are things we all know to find, and I found some pictures, and I want to show you something to do with foundations. Because sometimes when you see some of these things, it really can drive something home. And we're going to go to Guatemala. So there's Guatemala over there, just south of Mexico, so from Australia. And specifically, I want to go to Guatemala City and this particular intersection here. And the question I want to ask you is, can you notice anything unusual about this particular intersection here? Can anyone notice anything unusual at all? I mean, what do you see there? You see buildings? Yep. Can you see the cars? Looks pretty normal. Does it look pretty normal? It's actually pretty normal. This is a satellite view from maps and that. This is residential housing, and there's buildings around here, commercial buildings. You can see cars parked by the road. There's cars traveling down the road. If you look here, there's like a 3 or 4 lane highway, some road traveling here. It looks fairly normal. I mean, this could maybe be Shepparton Road, Victoria Park. Maybe this could be somewhere like Leach Highway or South Street. Maybe somewhere we've got buildings, residential. To me, I don't see anything unusual. Does anyone know what happened here about 5 weeks ago? Sorry, how many people know what happened? Okay. For those of you that don't know what happened, it was a terrible, a horrible, very sad event because people died. But what happened here was the ground actually opened up. And the size of the ground that opened up went from this corner building here to this corner building, and there's a 3-story building here. And the ground opened up that big an area. And what was here fell down. Guess how far down it fell? About the depth of a 30-story building. This is in Guatemala City. This is in the city itself. You want to see the picture? See the picture? There we go. Can you believe this? Have you ever seen anything like this? There's that building that's there. And yeah, I'm glad I got the light off. It's actually a bit clearer on the computer screen, but certainly you can see the hole. If I just go down and zoom in a bit. Okay, do you see this side? Do you see this hole? And they debated the geologist as to whether or not it's an actual sinkhole, because there need to be certain conditions, and probably actually that would have been something to get Benjamin up to speak about. anyway, there is this incredible thing. Now, if you notice just notice the colour of that wall there, and that one's a little bit hard to see. What we're going to do now is kind of go down to ground level from where we are. Okay, so you can see the people in the background there. You can see the size of this thing. There's the building there, and there was a building here, 3-story building, went down about 30 stories I mean, this is absolutely incredible. Now, I'm just going to take the camera around a bit to the left. So we're moving up a bit. Now, if you look, can you see what that is? It's a staircase. Can you? I mean, I've sat looking at this and spent hours on this, and at times my stomach has just tied in a knot, really, because there were people here. I mean, there were people there. What is it about this street that would ever make you think we're in Toronto? They have cars, everything's going along, everything's normal. It's not like, you know, like some of these bridges you walk on and they're moving, or it's not like it's a, you know, made out of popsicle sticks. And this thing happens, and it just amazes me, because you look at this staircase overhanging a drop of about 30 stories. Now, can you see all of this here? Do you know what this is? Have a guess what it is. It's pumice. It's pumice. Guatemala has about 30-odd volcanoes, and there are several around Guatemala City, and over time, there has been a build-up of several hundred metres of pumice. Have different views on why this actual hole happened. They say, there was a tropical storm, Agatha, I think it was. So there'd been huge downpours that had been happening. But they also said that they think that there were burst city pipes. They've debated about whether it was natural or man-made. But the point is, that much water, whatever it was, happened, and what happened to the foundation? See, the foundation, because the foundation was the sort of rock it was, it eroded. It was able to, you know, dissipate out and just fall out of here. All right, I'll show you the next picture. Can you see what they've done here? Can you see these things? There and there? Why do you think they dropped black plastic over the edge of this? They were concerned that the rains and the waters were going to come and erode this away even further. And what would happen then? Even more would fall into it. It's just an amazing and terribly sad thing. But it amazed me, and the geologists that have gone in, they've said, we're concerned about what we've seen going on here. This picture we're looking at here, guess what? It's another one in Guatemala City. It's just over 2 kilometres down the road from where that one we just looked at is. This one happened in 2007. And you can see here this building. So here's the Statue of Liberty. Have you seen the Statue of Liberty? You have? Okay. So I've not seen it, but we have a friend, Amanda, is here. So there's the Statue of Liberty, and this is this particular sinkhole. That's the height of it. So it would fit the Statue of Liberty on top of itself in there. It's another sinkhole that opened up. Now, there's actually a house here, and I'll show you a better picture of that. So this is another one. Now, you can see here, there's the back of the house which disappeared. Can you see this doorway? I mean, there were rooms here. I mean, we have homes, we have doorways, we walk through them. These people were just going about their day. Just going about their day. Opening doors and going through. We do that all the time. One day, they open the door and go out. And look, or they were in that room. You know, I mean, that is not, it's not a small thing. So, it's very, very interesting. This foundation that these places are built on is a rock of a sort. And it really interests me, because in Jeremiah, God says that his word is like fire. We know that the word, we know that God, we know that Jesus is like a rock. And it's really interested me, because this is a time we live in where we see people take the word of God, and what do they do with the word of God? And their own way they want to live. What's a statement you might hear that people do? Have you ever heard the expression, they water down the word of God? Have you ever heard that? Do you know that to be true? Do you know people who talk along those lines? So this is my question. What do you think happens to our brothers and sisters, even to ourselves, if we water down the word of God? Do we think it's a small thing? I think it's very interesting that there is something created naturally when hot rock comes in contact with water. It produces pumice. one of the things it can produce. And this can look like a rock, and you can build a city upon this rock. But if the floods come, if the torrential rainpour comes down upon it, will that foundation stand? It won't. For this area, they are very concerned because they don't have the money to investigate the pipes. They believe that there are leaks going on. Over time, the sediment compacts and does, the pumice will compact and do all these different things. So in all likelihood, things can be moving slightly anyway. So they don't have the money to investigate if pipes are going to leak even further. I'm glad I don't live there, because the foundation, in my view, is not solid. It's not rock. It's not like limestone or something like that. As Christians, we can't afford to get complacent about Jesus and his word. When Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father." And when he goes on to tell the story, when Jesus says, "Let me tell you what it's like," it's like a man building a house who built it on the rock. Now, in the second parable, do you notice then where Jesus says he dug down and laid the foundation of the house on the rock? If we go back and look at some of those pictures, you'll see they've got a concrete slab. In fact, in the first big picture I showed you, one of the concrete slab was hanging out over the pit. Okay, that person who built that, the company that built that, built a solid foundation for the house. Did they put it on a solid rock foundation? It's actually not. Now, you know, ground might all be hard and that sort of thing, but you look at the whole thing and you go, okay, this place, unlike Perth or unlike other places in the world, has several hundred meters of a type of rock. That's not really the rock foundation. As Christians, we can't afford to have a foundation in our life that is kind of like one foot in the world, one foot in the things of God. We can't afford to have the Word of God watered down. A watered down foundation is going to produce a very aerated foundation, and that foundation will not stand. Where are the stones, just out of interest? They're back here. So did everyone get to see them? So these ones, if we cut them in half, we're not going to see the same type of aeration, but we are certainly going to see, and you get the texture of it all and so on. And I would like to have found some out, to actually bring some rocks in that we could all see and just to get that sense of the lightness of it all. Let's turn to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter... Chapter 30. And reading from verse 8. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. "Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious house, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and say to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things.'" Does anyone's translation say something like, "Do not prophesy the truth"? I can't remember which translation I read that in. So the people of God are saying to the, "Don't tell us what you see," to the prophets, "Don't tell us the truth." Instead, what do they want? What do the people want? "Speak to us smooth things." What, can you please tell me just different translations? This is the New King James. What translations? Amplified, what does it say?
"Now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be a witness of the time to come forever. For these are rebellious people, faithless and lying sons, children who will not hear the law and instructions of the Lord, who virtually say to the seers by their conduct, 'See not,' and to the prophets, 'Prophesy not to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceitful illusions. Get out of the true way, turn aside out of the way. Cease holding up before us the Holy One of Israel, and fight the world."
Yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful and stirring passage. Unfortunately, it is something that does exist today, even if people don't speak it. It is an expression that I know pastors have shared with me. not here, but I know pastors have shared and said we can't speak everything in here because we will offend people and people will leave. People don't want to hear the truth. Now they may not stand up and say, don't tell us that, tell us that it doesn't matter, our lifestyle, everything's going to be okay. But how do people nowadays generally communicate that message? You know, one way I know is they put their tithe in their pocket. They do this. I've sat around meetings with pastors and they're all taking a pay cut because people's tithes are coming down. You know, tell a good positive message, get everyone feeling good, tithe can go up. Seriously, I'm sure you have seen this. Bible warns about this. There's a term, it's called peddling the word of God. And there is a trap that people can fall into. And it's not just applicable to pastors. It's applicable to every single Christian. Because we can say the things that people want to hear. And then they can love us and say, come sit down, let me get you a meal. Isn't that it? You know, so that's... And I'd like that. I really would. I'd much prefer that. You know, who wants trouble? Who wants to have people not liking you? Who wants to have people offended at you? I don't. But, you know, it's like... I think Elgin said it well one day. She said, you know, people want to please other people, but sometimes they don't realize to please those people, you displease God. So if you're going to please anyone, then better to please God, which is what we want to do. So the other way that people communicate this message is they move to another church. I don't like what I'm hearing here. Well, why? What are you hearing? Are you being told like that story you told about that pastor who... Now just say what again? The pastor believed God had told him to have an affair? So this man of... I mean, this person who is a pastor, I mean, you know, if someone stood up and said things like that, that would be cause to seek the Lord about where you worship. Absolutely. I would be very concerned. But if someone is standing up and saying, you need to love your neighbor, you need to forgive those who sin against you, you need to tithe, you need to, you know, this and that and the other, and goes through all the teachings of Jesus, then is that reason to get offended? But people do. Why? Because they want to have kind of one foot here, one foot there. And we live in a world today where you can create the church you want. You can actually go along and you can say, I like this church because the message they tell me, I just leave every week feeling good. And I spoke somewhere recently, and I gave a message, and the message was, you know, people said it was challenging what it was. And then I heard someone speak, the next person that spoke. And, you know, it was like, the message was like honey and velvet. It just wrapped up, and it was all loving and all this. And it said some things that weren't accurate, you know, just about, you know, which for me was about how God will deal with people when they're off on the wrong path. And God doesn't do this, and God doesn't say that. So Elgin was telling me she listened to a message this morning, and the person was saying, repentance, it's an Old Testament word, you know. And, you know, and you sit there and, look, this is what we know, this is the world we live in. And people are doing exactly what the Bible said. They are storing up people who say what they want to hear. My heart breaks. I cry. I literally weep. I'll drive along and I'll weep because even before I see pictures like this, of this foundation that gives way, in my heart I know whatever pats on the back people get, whatever swelling numbers churches may have, we stand before Jesus. We stand before God every waking minute, but at the end. And not everyone who says, Lord, look at these things I did. How many people know Christians that have cast out demons and performed many miracles? Okay, so we don't all have our hands up. It's probably only a fifth of us. Now, Jesus is not talking about people who just got saved. Jesus is talking about people who are performing some significant function in what the world understands to be the church, that they are driving out demons, that they are doing miracles. What are miracles? What are the miracles we know of in the Bible? Raising people from the dead, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. What are miracles? If I find 20 cents, is that a miracle? No, it's not a small thing, is it? It's a big thing. And Jesus says these people will come before him and he will say, depart from me, why? What are the two keys that Jesus gives as to why those people will depart from him? Workers of iniquity. He says, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness or you work iniquity. Our foundation, Jesus said, is to be hearing what he says and doing it. Now, I know and I can guarantee if I hear what Jesus says and I put that into action in my life, then I will not be thinking about affairs, stealing, lying, swearing. I mean, where would we stop? You know, all these things. If I build a house, if you come to my house, do you think that you'll go from, like, the kitchen area, you know, like, you know, you have a normal kitchen and you've got tiles or you've got boards down, and if you say to me, oh, where's the bathroom? I need to freshen up. And I say, oh, it's down there. Do you expect to go out the corridor, open the bathroom up, and it's sand? You wouldn't. What would you expect to see? You'd expect to see the same foundation in the whole house, wouldn't you? You'd expect to see this is a house built with a concrete slab. When they come and inspect the house and say, yes, you can move in, if they found something wrong with that foundation, they would not allow you to live in it. They would, in fact, do what to the building? Begins with a C. They would condemn it. Jesus likens us to a house. And he says, dig deep, find the rock. Dig deep, find the rock, which is God, and build upon that. And build upon it by hearing what he says and doing it. You think, why do we keep saying these messages? Why as a church do we keep talking about these things? Why is there, you know, all the weeks we're devoting in Sunday school to the Word of God? Because this is the thing the devil is in some way succeeding in removing from the body of Christ. Holding to the Word, believing in the Word, building their life upon it. And the devil knows. Houses, people will be eroded. Now, is that heaven and hell? When do the storms of life come? Today? Do the storms of life come today? They do. Last week, did they come? In the weeks to come? When will the storms of life come? While we're alive. That means now. So, for Christians who don't have this thing in their life, they're going to suffer. And the very, very sad thing is, when I see people's lives fall apart, who do they blame? A lot of the time, they turn around and say, God, why have you done this? God. And God gets accused of all these things, even by those he died for. And I don't believe many of the times it's God. I believe it's the devil attacks, or I believe, and I can think of times in my own life, this foundation, not the whole house, but I can think of times part of my life has just plummeted. And I haven't built on the rock. I thank God that he spoke to us like a long time ago and about tithing and offerings. And we've shared that before, not in any boast of anything other than just to say, yeah, we do more than that. It's the New Testament. We do more than at least the minimum. And that's nothing in us. That's in God. If I went outside and I had a car and I put keys in it and I turned the ignition, would you applaud and say, look at what he did. He made this car start. What is it? It's just a key. I put the key in and turn it. Do you know with the principles of God? God says, do these types of things and then this will happen. Did you create the engine in your car? No. But you put in the key, turn it, and you enjoy that. God set the principles up in place for our finances, for our health, and so on. And God said, here's the key to it. Put the key in, use it. That's all you do. And who gets the glory? Not the person who just put the key in, but wow, look at these people. They made this incredible car, and it's very clever. Look at God, who set all these things in place. We pray. I did mention that at my work, it had been a very concerning time because they had... There was a low intake of students and such. And so they were looking to lay staff off, which was a very hard and a very sad thing. And for us, for Elgin and I mean, Elgin's at home. And so we are very much like, we believe I'm supposed to be there, and we prayed. But I can tell you one of the things we've done, and we've prayed this for some time, and we thank God, when there's famine in the land, what will be on our tables? Food. And I believe God will make a way for us. When there's famine in the land, there'll be food on our tables. We even pray, Lord, when other people are being demoted, you will promote me. Why? Not because I'm great or wonderful or anything like that. No, but Lord, you've given me. And Lord, I want to use them. I want to build on that foundation. So we tithe. We do these things. And I expect that as these things happen, God says he'll do what he says. God says, I'll provide for you. I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out such a blessing on you. You're not going to be able to hold it in there. You know, you're not going to go begging bread. It's not to the glory of any person, is it? It's just, here's the keys God has given us. God created this incredibly complex machine. God says, here's how you work it. So we need to work that and not just put it aside, or else we miss out on that. Okay, back to Isaiah. Verse 10, we finish saying, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. People say, oh, I've heard too much now, I don't want to hear anymore. But God hears that. And verse 12, therefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall. If you picture these are things about to break, whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from its hearth, or to take water from a cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord will wait. And this is what I love, and this is so important that we take. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the coverings of the images of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. When the people come back to God, get rid of all those different things, embrace God, God is a God who is abounding in compassion and mercy. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any foundation would give way and the collapse of the house would be great, very great upon any of us. We are his precious, unique creation. Not just us in this building, our friends in other buildings. It is a job, it is a mantle indeed, I think, that is upon us. It's upon all of the body of Christ, but it's especially upon us to talk to our brothers and sisters and say to them, what is your foundation? Don't play games. Don't let people say to you, it doesn't matter, this is not a big deal. It is a big deal. You have seen some pictures of the ruination of some houses, and it was great. How much greater is the ruination Jesus is speaking of when it captures into eternity? These are not small things. These are not idle days. This is not a pointless time for us. This is a time for us to have these things in our mind, in our hearts, in our mouth. When we meet with people, what's on our mind? Are they liking me? Is this going to go well? Are they going to think good things of me? Or are we thinking about our own lives, our own foundation, their life, their foundation? Will we offer a word to strengthen our brothers and sisters? Or will we keep it back for fear? I get knots in my stomach when I think of that real house falling. I can tell you more than that when I think of God's precious children, whether they're in church at the moment or not, whether they have turned to the Lord yet or not. Every single human being on the face of the planet is made by God, and they are supposed to be with him, in unison with him, following him in obedience. And that is what gets my stomach going, and that is our thing. If we can understand that we need to hear the word and obey it, I can tell you now there are many out there who live it differently, and they have for themselves a very watered down word. And I talk to them about things, and they go, "Ah, come on, what are you doing?" That's what they say to me. "Come on, you're so worried about, what are you talking about? God's bigger than this. God's not concerned about this. God's," and they'll talk all these types of messages. I say to him, look, who am I? I'm no one. I'm just saying what Jesus said. Jesus said this is what I should do. This is what we should do. The devil wants things to go different. So, the Lord is waiting that he will be gracious, that he will have mercy. People need to come to him. And there'll be people you may know, maybe even people in here, and there is an area of the foundation that is not that solid rock. It needs to be solid rock for your good. It really does, for your survival. God's not willing that any of us will perish or suffer. It needs to be solidified. God will help us. Father, according to your word, you will help us. Father, in Jesus' name, this foundation, let it not be a foundation of pumice. Father, let it not be a foundation of rock that has mixed with water. Let it not be a foundation, Lord, of anything else other than you. Father, you alone can search our hearts. Lord, search our hearts now, I pray, and test us, Lord, if there is anything unclean in us. Lord, for our own sakes, you bring these things before us. Lord, for our own good and because you love us, you talk to us. Lord, even where it says you chastise us as sons, Lord, for our own benefit, you come to us and say, this needs to be addressed. For our own benefit, you come and say, turn from this now. Father, search our hearts right now for every single one of us in this place, Lord, as we come before you. Search our hearts, Lord, and if there be anything impure in us, Father, take it from us. Lord, we give it to you. Father, we say, forgive us. And Lord, we say, help us walk the way in that we should go. Father, we will walk in the path that you have for us. We will not turn to the left or the right. Father, we will continue in the way that you have for us. You have not left us as orphans, but you have given us your Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we don't want to be caught up in the way of the world. Holy Spirit, we do not want to be caught up looking at what we think is a great house without realizing this foundation is hundreds of meters of something that's about to give way. You see things we do not see. You see through us and see in us things that we're not even aware of. Lord, for our own sake, please save us all. Cleanse us all. Take any part of our life that needs to be addressed and, Lord, make it known to us. And, Lord, we say to you, we do not want the ruin of our house to be great. We do not want our house to be ruined at all. So, Lord, please talk to us. And right now, we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, you are God. Therefore, you will speak and we will hear. You will speak, we will obey. You will give us correction, and Father, we will take it and we will apply it. Lord, that to your glory, we will be a house built on a rock. Lord, that to your glory, when those we love dearly around us suffer the storms of life and things go terribly wrong, Father, that those who are spared, that Lord, they will see and witness that God is a God of truth. Lord, that through us, they will be drawn to truth. Not that we will boast, not that we will take any glory, but Father, we are just your humble servants who say, Lord, we will stand on your word. We will hold to your truth. Lord, may the world see a light and go, let's head to that. May the world see the salt and taste it and say, that's where we need to be. Lord, you have not set these things up by accident, but you have set it up so that the world will be saved. We are not going to be lapse in this. We are not going to be ignorant. We're not going to be lazy in it. But Father, we know that it starts with us, and you have started with us. Lord, may you continue in us. May it be as we pray so many times, Lord, that having preached to others, we ourselves will not be disqualified. That, Father, you have built a work in us, that you will see it through to completion in Jesus' name. Father, may it be that people will be drawn to us. Father, that they will see Jesus in us, that they will see your victory in us. Father, may it be that as the storms of life come against us, that people will notice a distinction between us and between other people, and they will say, what is different about you? And we will say, it is the Lord. May they see that you are working through us, Father, that we are in agreement with you, Lord, that we are submitted to you. Father, may it be that the world will see it's not about storing up people who say what they want to hear. It's not about them voting with their money and their feet to attend a church that will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Father, there are many of your sons and daughters who are on the edge. Father, we make ourselves available and we say, Lord, as many as you will entrust to us, send us to them, send them to us. Give us words to speak, Father, that they will be saved And we know it's a strange thing, Lord, because these are your children. Yet, Lord, you have said that people who hear your word yet don't follow it, the house ruin and it's great. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. So, Lord, we are about building disciples. We are about taking all the children, whether they have professed Christ or not, and leading them to salvation and discipleship and growing them and training them into the image of Jesus. Father, let us be purposeful about this for every one of us, for every single one of us here. There are, what, four or five or however many people in our lives that we are praying for, Lord, that we are reaching out to with words. Father, we pray that there will be much fruit in our lives. Father, that you will set up divine encounters, Lord, where we will witness to people and they will turn from their ways. Let's just pray. I'm sure there are people you can think of now. Just uphold them before the Lord now. Father, we just bring these people before you. Father, these people in our lives, Lord, these ones, these we know who have fallen away, Father, we lift them up before you. Father, may it not be, may they be captured before, Father, the house falls. May it be captured, Father, before these storms utterly destroy them. Father, by your grace, may you send laborers across their path. May you send us, Lord. Father, may their hearts be open to receive the truth. Father, we pray that an offense will not be established between them, Father, and us, but Lord, that you will give us words to speak. We will not shrink, we will not pull back, and we will not water down your truth, Lord. We ask that you will give us hearts of love. Father, that it is through love and compassion we will reach out to people. And Lord, as we understand, times are short. Father, times are short. And people are facing situations even today. Even today, Father, people are facing situations. They are flicking on a switch which could detonate something terrible in their life in time to come. Father, help us. Help us to gather people before they wander too far in the woods and are utterly lost. Help us to gather them right at the edge, Father, before it is too late. Help us, Father, to be aware of these things. Lord, you say you will give us gifts, that we can't do this in our own strength. Father, release gifts to us. Father, release gifts to us, spiritual gifts, gifts of discernment, gifts where we will look not just with our eyes, but where there will be revelation to us in our spirit. Lord, give us a word of wisdom for people. Give us a prophetic utterance to people. Lord, tell us about things that are going to happen in people's lives that we will speak to them. Lord, send us, as you have sent us at times, to see someone, to coffee with them or to eat with them, to speak a word to them, that they will hear your word, and then, Lord, may that word be heard and received and bear much fruit. Father, help us in the midst of everything we have going on in our lives to not get so distracted by everything that's going on that we forget this very purpose that we are here for, that you have apprehended us for a purpose of apprehending others, of being used by you to apprehend others. Father, we don't take this lightly, and Father, we pray, help us to do this. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and that we will not do this in our own strength. We need your help, Father, to keep that fire burning within us and to help it be in others. May it be established according to your word, in Jesus' name.